So thank you for inviting me again. It's been a while long since I was here before, so it's always good to come here and be with you. So I'm glad for the invitation. Glad to be part of the celebrations of John's 40th birthday. We got to a deal that John's agreed that when I'm 40, he's going to buy me a drink. A very short passage today. So, if it's okay with you, I can read it again. Is that right? This is what Paul says. He says, "I've thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and a fellow worker and a fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my needs. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honour such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me." So I just pray that you'd speak to us through these words. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It was good that we sang about the goodness of God, and the Simi concentrated on a bit during the worship. Because often, if you notice, we often experience the goodness of God through other Christians. That God often ministers to us through other Christians, through members of our church family. And this passage, the background to it is actually in Philippians chapter 4. I'm not going to say much about that because presumably somebody's going to speak on that in a few weeks' time, so I won't steal their thunder. But what happens is that this, and again, you probably heard this already, that this letter seems to have been written during the very last part of Paul's ministry, and probably in the bit in Acts 28, the very last chapter of Acts, where it says that Paul, for 2 years, lived in a house which he rented, but under house arrest. So he wasn't allowed to go out, but he was allowed to receive people. People came and went, but he wasn't allowed to go and preach or go out into the town because he was under house arrest, waiting to see Caesar, waiting to whatever verdict was going to be given him. And when the Philippian church heard that Paul was under house arrest and was having to fend for himself, they decided to send him a gift. It was a sort of church, they were like that. And so they got some money together and they sent this gift with this guy, Epaphroditus. And Paul says he's your messenger and minister to my needs. So Epaphroditus comes from Philippi to Rome with this gift for Paul and ministers to Paul in his need as under house arrest in Rome. Now sometime after Epaphroditus arrives in Rome, he becomes very ill, and we read that in the passage. And somehow the Philippians heard that he was ill and expressed their worry, their upset that he was ill. And because the Philippians were upset that Epaphroditus was ill, Epaphroditus was upset because the Philippians were upset that he was ill. And so they sent a message back, presumably, to the Philippians to say that he was okay. Just think about this for a minute. We tend to forget this when we read about this. That what had happened, well, just go back a stage for a minute. Philippi to Rome is about 790 miles by the shortest route. And that shortest route goes up and down quite a bit. It goes over the mountains in the middle of what's now Macedonia. It's a long way, so it's a hard road. I looked on a website which talks about these long distance walkers, and for example, people going to on the Camino de Santiago in Spain, which is a pilgrimage route, which is very similar in terrain, they manage about 12 to 20 miles a day. So that's the average. So 790 miles takes 48 days. Right? Plus the fact that to get from that part of what's now Greece, well, perhaps Albania, in fact, to Italy, you have to go by boat, which is another 24 hours. So basically the journey at the quickest takes 49 days, which is 7 weeks, exactly. 7 weeks. Now, I presume that Epaphroditus, being a Christian, probably didn't walk 7 days a week. He probably had a day off. So that's an extra 7 days. So this journey probably took him at least 8 weeks. 8 weeks, right? So Epaphroditus comes from Philippi to Rome, 8 weeks. He is then ill. And so somebody, because he said the Philippians knew he was ill, so somebody else went from Rome to Philippi to tell them that Epaphroditus was ill. That's another 8 weeks. And then Epaphroditus heard that the Philippians were upset because he was ill, so somebody else, or that maybe the same person, had come from Philippi back to Rome to let Epaphroditus know that the Philippians no doubt praying for him, they were concerned about him, and they were upset because he was ill. That basically is 6 months, that little correspondence. I mean, how long would that take us on WhatsApp? 5 minutes? Okay. 6 months. And it speaks to me about the care and love that these people had for one another. And I think that's what this passage is essentially about. It's not about Epaphroditus being ill and that journey backwards and forwards. It's about the care of Christians one for another. About the goodness of God in the church. Excuse me. So Epaphroditus arrives in Rome with this gift from the Philippians. So this is the sort of thing the Philippian church did. They were a generous church. And we read about it in other places that they contributed to the needs of the church, particularly the church in Jerusalem. I think it was they were one of the people that gave when there was famine in Judea. They were a generous church. They were generous to their people. They were generous to Paul, who planted the church in their town. They were just generous people. They believed in the goodness of God and they expressed the goodness of God to others. So Epaphroditus comes with this gift, and as Paul said, he's a messenger, and that's what he says in verse 25, isn't it? That he talks about Epaphroditus being your messenger, but minister to my needs. So presumably when Epaphroditus came to Rome, he didn't just give Paul the money, there you are, and push off. He hung around, and Paul wasn't able to do much for himself. So presumably, what Paul says here, that Epaphroditus is helping, he's ministering to him, he's serving him, he's providing for Paul's needs, not just in giving him the money, but in perhaps doing other things as well. We don't know, but that, it seems to me that that's what this passage means. But Epaphroditus isn't just a minister, isn't just a servant, isn't just a messenger. He's far more than that. And it seems that in the time that Epaphroditus was in Rome with Paul, that the relationship between the two of them grew to the extent that Paul thinks very highly of Epaphroditus. It says that he was happy that Epaphroditus' illness didn't get worse, because that would have been a sorrow upon sorrow to him. Because Epaphroditus had become important to him, had become special to him. So behind this simple message that appears to be just about this toing and froing of messages backwards and forwards to Philippi, there seems to me be a lot more in terms of the relationship growing between Epaphroditus and Paul, and maybe Epaphroditus and the other Christians in Rome. Paul maybe never met Epaphroditus before. We don't know how long, whether Epaphroditus was there when Paul planted the church in Philippi. We don't know that. But Paul was obviously happy to have him around. Was grateful for what he had brought him from the church of Philippi, and grateful for his acts of service that Epaphroditus had performed. But as I said, during his stay, Epaphroditus became to Paul much more than just a messenger and servant. I'm really going to speak mainly for the rest of my talk on verse 25, the first part of it. Because this is what Paul says about Epaphroditus. And it's really four or five words, but it says to me so much about the relationship between the two of them, about their care, and about the goodness that God expressed between these two men and other Christians in Rome and Philippi. This is what it says in verse 25. It says, "I've thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier." those three things: brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier. Just want to look at those three words, really, five words. So how do you become a brother? How do you become a brother? Are there any brothers and sisters here in this room?
We're all brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Same father.
Okay. Yeah. You're a brother or a sister if you have the same father, right? This is talking about family. Paul is saying about Epaphroditus that Epaphroditus is family. That's how close they've become. They have the same heavenly father. And as Ross says, we are all brothers and sisters because we have the same heavenly father. We're all family. And it's good, isn't it? And we did today something that families do. We celebrated the birthday. Did you do it in your family, in your house? We do it in ours, yeah? And it's right, isn't it, that it's John's birthday and Jimmy's birthday, that as a family, we should do family things. And we should celebrate that. In fact, John's having a double family because we sang her birthday in Christchurch this morning as well, so he's... didn't have cake this one, did they? No. So I lost my page, sorry. I keep doing this, I keep turning over two pages at once. So Paul calls Epaphroditus brother, and that's in recognition of this close relationship that they had obviously forged. And Epaphroditus is spoken about by Paul in the same way that Paul speaks about Timothy. And we know that Timothy was very special to Paul. He calls Timothy his brother a number of times in various letters. Timothy, as you know, Paul met in Ephesus on his way to Philippi in the second missionary journey. He left Timothy in Philippi when he had to leave very quickly when there was the riot there. And eventually he sent Timothy back to be leader of the church in Ephesus. So Paul and Timothy were very close. And he calls Timothy brother. He calls Epaphroditus brother. He calls Titus brother. He calls Tychicus and various other people that stood by Paul, that travelled with him, that ministered with him, that were close to him, that worked alongside him in difficult circumstances, often trusted to go on ahead of Paul or be left behind when he moved on to other places. Interesting, some other people that Paul called brother are Onesimus and Philemon. Do you know who these two people are and what the relationship between them was? Onesimus was a slave that ran away from his master, becomes a Christian, and Paul sends him back to his former master, Philemon, now not as a slave, but as a brother. This is the relationship, the close relationship that Paul forms with these people. That Epaphroditus have grown in Paul's affections, in closeness relationship. And the relationship was no longer of Paul as the great missionary and Epaphroditus the servant. No longer Paul the great preacher and Epaphroditus the messenger bringing money. But there's an equality there that the term brother means. It's a respect, a closeness, a value that is more than just that had grown over the time these two have been together. Paul also calls him a fellow worker, a partner, a member of the same team, working towards a common goal on a common project. That probably been the work of Christ, and it talks in verse 30, doesn't it? It says that, for he nearly died for the work of Christ. This is Epaphroditus, a servant of Christ, doing the work of Jesus, ministering to the church, doing evangelism, building the church, building up Paul, and all these things that fellow workers do. And just like Epaphroditus joins a list of brothers, he also joins a list of fellow workers. And these are some of the people that Paul called fellow workers. He talks about Priscilla and Aquila, a married couple whom he met, first of all, in Corinth, and then worked alongside him again in Ephesus and probably various other places too. Timothy, again, in Romans 16, talks about as a fellow worker. Timothy, very close to Paul, doing lots of things with him, and has been left behind, sent on ahead, and all sorts of things and representing Paul in other places. So, and then there's who else is there? Titus, the letter. And then in Colossians 4, he talks about a guy called Mark as a fellow worker. You know, Mark's very interesting one to me. I love talking about Mark. His real name is sometimes called John. He's called John Mark. And we first meet him in Acts 15. No, we don't first meet him in Acts 13. So when Paul and Barnabas were first sent off by the church in Antioch to take Peter's gospel, first of all in Cyprus and then around what is now Turkey, they took this young man, John Mark, with them. He was somebody that Barnabas knew. And he went off with them to port with Paul and Barnabas to preach the gospel around Cyprus and so on. When they got to Pamphylia, which is in modern-day Turkey, John Mark went home. He had enough, went home. And that upset Paul greatly. So in Acts 16, when Paul and Barnabas were going off on another missionary journey, Barnabas said, let's take John Mark. And Paul says, no, we're not going to. Last time he came, he let us down. We're not having him. And the argument got so heated that Paul and Barnabas fell out. Now, Barnabas is a guy you can't easily fall out with. Yeah? He's a son of encouragement, his name is. You can't fall out with Barnabas. But Paul fell out with him over John Mark. So much so that Paul went off on his next mission journey, not with Barnabas, but with Silas. And Barnabas went with John Mark a different route. They fell out over John Mark. And yet, later on, in 2 Timothy, Paul writes about Mark. He says, he says something like this, he is very valuable to me. And obviously reconciled that John Mark, over a period of years, had redeemed himself. He'd become valuable to Paul. And Paul refers to him as such in his letter to Timothy as a valued co-worker, a valued fellow worker. And if I just complete the story of John Mark, having failed, having left the mission, gone back home, caused a bust up between Mark and between Paul and Barnabas, he then gets to write a book. And it's the book that we know as Mark's Gospel. The goodness of God, redeeming failure. That's not part of what I said. That's just the free bit. That's not part of what I prepared. Okay. So Epaphroditus must have worked alongside Paul while he was in Rome, helping him maybe to write to the churches, maybe preaching and teaching in places where Paul wasn't able to go because he was under house arrest. But he became valuable to Paul as a fellow worker. And finally, Paul refers to him as a fellow soldier. Now, fellow soldiers, fellow workers, in some ways there's a common feature. They're working together to a common end, but they're fighting against a common enemy. And think about the difference between a soldier and fellow worker, or as a comrade or a colleague, is that in the army, your life depends on your colleagues. It isn't just working together. There's a dependency there, which is where your very life depends on it. And so when Paul talks about Epaphroditus and others as fellow soldiers, he isn't just saying this guy works with me. Isn't just this guy fought with me shoulder to shoulder against a common enemy. But this is a guy who I put my life, in whose hands I put my life. That's what a fellow soldier is. And so Paul writes to the Philippian church in sending Epaphroditus back. He says, welcome him in the Lord with great joy because he's better and he's returned to them. But he says, but and honour men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you couldn't give me. Obviously with great joy because of his restoration to health and his return to his home church after long absence. But to receive honour for his work that almost led to his death. Honour because he had not put his own life and health, where he had put his life and health second to the work of the gospel, to the encouragement of Paul and to the believers around him, and to the greater advancement of the kingdom of God. Epaphroditus' stories, like many others throughout church history, set off without fanfare to do a fairly simple job to take some money to Paul in Rome. And through that, a job without glamour, a job without kudos, he ends up as an example to the church throughout history of selfless love, of courage, and of faithful service to the mission of Jesus. Just thinking about us as a church, about you as a church, about us as Christ Church, and our fellowship between the two. How do you think of your fellow Christians in the church, your fellow church members? Do you think of them as brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
Family? I can see that, that's great. Fellow workers? Common purpose? Proclaiming the gospel? Proclaiming the kingdom? Seeing the kingdom advancing in this part of Lee? As fellow soldiers? Putting your life in their hands? Because that's what it means to be members of a church together. That's what it means to be brothers and sisters in Christ. In closing, I just want to refer to another person that Paul talks about. This is, because it's very similar to Epaphroditus. This is in 1 Corinthians 16. This is a guy called Stephanas. This is what Paul says about him. He says, be watchful, stand firm. Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints, like Epaphroditus. Be subject to such as these, and every fellow worker and labourer. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Dychicus, because they have made up for your absence, for they refresh my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such men. Epaphroditus had obviously come not just with money, but actually refreshed Paul's spirit and encouraged him and strengthened him. And like these other people, Paul says, honour him, because he's a great bloke, Epaphroditus. Honour him. And Paul's assessment is it's right to honour such people. A messenger and a servant, yes, but also a brother, a fellow worker, and a fellow soldier. It's right to honour such people and the Lord whom they serve. Let's pray. So Father, just thank you that you called us to be part of a church where we can see each other as brothers and sisters, where we work together and are fellow workers, one with another, for the advancement of your kingdom, and fellow soldiers in that our lives depend on each other for our encouragement, for correction, for keeping us on the straight and narrow with you. Lord, just thank you for each person in this room, each person in this room that's a brother and sister to me, to John, to everybody, each person that's a fellow worker in the advancement of your kingdom, each person that's a fellow soldier in fighting against the evil one and bringing your kingdom to light. Just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.